Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, folks. Obviously, this is an historic day. As I was crashing last night, it was brought to my attention that Osama bin Laden had been killed. We use Team 6. Anybody that's in the military understands that that is our most advanced SEAL team. When a job needs to be done, they are the best of the best. And I am proud that even though it took us a total of 15 years, 10 years since the fall of the Twin Towers, that as President Bush has said so many times, justice will be served. We will find you. And I tell you what, I'm stoked. I want you to know that. As a military man, as a Marine, I believe you can run, but you can't hide from the United States military. And with that be said, let's get on with Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. This is a huge impact if you're a businessman. If you would just read this book, let's you know, I don't care what niche you're in, I don't care what industry you're in, what profession you might be in. I believe that this book, I believe the Starbucks story in itself could help many organizations. You know, a lot of times, and I'm going to go into the chapter, but a lot of times we're looking for the silver bullet, which is the name of this chapter. We're looking for that one great person that we could sponsor and attract to our business. We're looking for that one big product. We're looking for that trend. And we lose focus, just like Starbucks did, that it's about one person, one drink, one experience, whatever it is. That's what makes for something huge. And I think that's what we're looking at right here. There is no perfect company. There is no perfect answer. Howard starts this chapter off. He says, "We've been searching for some time for a cold beverage concept that will create the type of taste, proprietary nature, and customer excitement that our Frappuccino blended beverages did 10 years ago. I had said during our second quarter earnings call, not yet identifying the new Italian treat by its name, that Sorbetto," who the heck knows if I said that one right, "would be the answer. This delicious product that I had urged to market that spring would launch in the summer. We found something finally that took us back to our heritage." But here's the issue. If you guys remember a few chapters back when they flew over to Italy, they saw this drink, they were excited about it. They said, "Man, this could be the one. This is the rockin' one. This is what we want." And they thought they'd have upwards to a 70% profit margin. Now they were down to 24%. They hadn't even launched the product because of all kinds of stuff that had happened. See, a lot of times CEOs, they're visionaries, they're excited. These top field leaders in the field, they're they're excited. Although they know there's no silver bullet, they'll grasp onto something. You know, I use BK Breako a lot, and you know I do that because I've watched him for so long. I've seen mistakes that they've made. I've seen successes they've had. I've seen him reach out as a top leader, be well respected within the community. But dadgum, he doesn't always hit a home run. And when he's out there getting ready to launch something like he did last year with his Vima PM, he knows that there's no silver bullet, and he never just waits there. He's already in the process this summer of launching next soda pop, and there'll be something else in the fall, I'm sure, that he's doing. See, that's what leaders do. Leaders know there's no such thing as just a one-hit wonder. You can't just wait on the one product. You got to keep moving. You got to keep going. The funny thing, though, is you can launch too many things at once. Knowing that there's no silver bullet, sometimes we jump ahead of ourselves. Howard writes this: "That summer, however, in addition to Sorbetto, two things in particular held tremendous potential to create incremental demand, despite early missteps: the Starbucks first ever loyalty program and emerging health and wellness platform." Now, this is you know, you also got to be careful when you're launching products that they don't compete with each other. You know, the rewards program is something that I'm a part of. I carry my card. I've got a profile over in the community. I get points. I get free. I'm all into the loyalty programs. But they can be overshadowed with other things. And in this case, here's these three things: the rewards program, Serbetto, and actually the launch of Pike's Place, which was one of the big ones. And now you've got the health and wellness. How can you compete if you're putting out a sweet, tasty, exuberant Italian drink? How does that mix in? How does that work with health and nutrition? Now, there's one that you got to think about too. But this is good. Listen to this. If we could crack the code on loyalty and value, we would achieve multiple goals at once. This is why I love the loyalty program. We would see an uptick in sales. We would be rewarding our core customers. We'd provide value for people that seek in tough economic times without cheapening the brand. We'd save money by reducing the number of credit card transactions and thus some of the millions of dollars we paid in associated fees. And we would strengthen the bond with the customers. See, I'm constantly carrying a balance on my Starbucks card. I never know when I might be out with somebody and say, hey, can I buy you a Starbucks? I do the same thing with my Delta Airlines. I've got a gold membership there. I do the same thing with Hyatt Hotels. I've got a gold membership there. Why not utilize that? You know, and the funny thing is, Paige does it at the grocery store. She's got an awards card there. We've got one over at the drugstore. Got one at the gas company. We're brand loyal people, to say the least. And he knew that was something that they could save money on. That was big. But it's being overshadowed with some of the other stuff that they're getting excited about. He also knew that the health and nutrition was more than a trend. Around the world, people were changing their lives. Who would have thought that one of the largest industries in the nation, the tobacco industry, would have taken such a gigantic hit during the late 90s, early turn of the century? If you go back and you look at movies from the 50s on anyway, you see how there's always a lucky strike. Matter of fact, that was one of the big sponsors of some of the first early TV sitcoms, or whatever we call them, the Allen show, the George Burns and Gracie Allen. You can see it on some of the other shows that were out there. Now all of a sudden people were saying, dude, don't be smoking. We've seen where alcohol had changed. We've seen where people were saying pesticides can kill you. Let's go green. Let's look, you see the start of this, and Starbucks was no different. They're saying, okay, how can we not dilute our brand, not dilute our products, give people what we want? It's funny because when I look at companies like Shaklee, who's like 50 years old, they've been doing the green thing before green was cool. But everybody wants to get on, wants to help. And this is not a belittlement of Starbucks by any means. This is huge. This is big. They're out there helping farmers. They're in third world countries. I mean, I believe that what they did was great, but sometimes it can get overshadowed with everything else. Remember, the chapter title is there's no silver bullet, but yet we look for one. But Howard knew this. As a customer brand trusted for quality, Starbucks was in a unique position to step into the lucrative health and wellness market and play, possibly to become the authority. That's a possibility. The funny thing about coffee is that I've got a lot of friends that are in different direct selling companies that sell coffee that are actually health-focused coffees. Some of them are in weight loss. Some are in antioxidants now. I think Howard was onto something here. About that same time, they had launched the Vivano brand, which is a very thick, cool drink that came out. I remember the summer it came out. It was a smoothie. It was health. It had whey in it. I'm not even sure now. I haven't looked for one lately. I enjoyed the first one that I had, but I'll be honest with you. I still haven't, in my mind, put Starbucks and health and nutrition together at all. I don't go there for that specific purpose, but I know that was a drink that was very, very good. A lot of people, because our church is right outside of a Starbucks, a lot of people were drinking that. But what happened is, it just like anything that's outside of your core competency, There's new machines that have to go in. There's extra time and labor and cleaning and stuff like that. And as I read through this chapter, I started realizing how many of us automatically think there's got to be a silver bullet. Going back to Vimo a little bit, I remember a few years ago when they launched their internet platform, they thought that was going to be the wave of the future, and it fell flat on its face. Remember a few years ago when even Amway created the largest shopping portal on the nation, and now it's gone. That was Quickstar. See, a lot of times companies just get outside the core competency of things. Other companies still think they're it's okay to do that. I mean, you take GE as an example, who has all their fingers in everything, a true conglomerate. One would wonder, is this a conflict? Is this something that, you know, why can some companies do it, Troy, and some companies can't? And I believe that it goes back to the experience. See, I said I do not look at Starbucks for health and nutrition, and I don't. I do look at it as a place of quality. I look at it for the experience. It's a comfort place where I can go and sit down and relax and ponder my day. Have a quiet time with my wife. Meet with friends or business colleagues. It's kind of like the modern-day Cheers, for lack of a better example. So the question's got to be, how can you do that in your business? How can you make your business a common place, a place that people want to be a part of? When they think of your products, they realize that, man, we just got to have this. I was in a conversation last week with a couple of gentlemen that are successful businessmen in real estate and self-storage units, and they're looking at getting into network marketing. They see it as a real viable income stream. I said it can be if you pick the right company that matches your personality. They said, you don't believe that you can just go into any company and make it? I said, no, I do not believe that. I believe you need to vet the company. You need to vet the owners. I named a small company out of Texas, a company called BeHip that launched a couple years ago now, well, a little over a year ago now. They launched internationally because they didn't want to get caught up in all the stuff that was going on in the United States. People were jumping from one company to the other. Companies were merging together. So Terry LaCour decided with his team that we would launch internationally, and they went out there and they built some pretty good international brands. Money started coming in, and instead of coming into the United States and doing like some companies have done and go out there and invest dollars in acquiring and attracting distributors, he went out and started buying up companies and putting them under his umbrella. Now, he did it in a strategic manner, just like Howard did when he started looking for a fresh concept in drip coffee, looking for a machine that would create coffee like a French press. And if you've never had coffee in a French press, it's amazing. And I'm bringing up BeHip's story because one of the companies that I have talked about quite a bit, Sterigenics, also known as Sierra's Living, is one of the companies they just purchased, one of the companies they bought up. So I've been studying this company. And I look at Starbucks and I look at BeHip and I said, is there a match? Is there similar things that can be done here? And I decided that there wasn't. I look more at BeHip kind of like I do at GE. You got different personalities you're trying to bring in. And I realized, you know what? This is what we do sometimes as leaders. We go out and try to look for a specific type of employee that we can bring in. We look for a specific type of leader we can put on our sales team. We try to stay to our core competency like Starbucks, and our growth is somewhat slower. We look around us, saying, man, if I could just find one of the silver bullets over there on that team, look how fast that team's growing. Look at the story they're promoting. And it's true that it looks really, really good. But yet so many times they fall by the wayside. A company like Bella Mora, who just a few months ago was touting the fact that within 30 days they brought in 52,000 signups. And today most of those people have already left the company because of internal problems. There is no silver bullet. Howard, going through this chapter, it was amazing to me. because it reminded me of an old song Kenny Rogers wrote called The Gambler, where he said you got to know when to hold them and you got to know where to fold them. When they looked at all their initiatives, the ones they put the most money in, they ended up scrapping their Sabato. They loved the drink. They loved everything about it. But because they weren't going to have the profit margins they needed in order to make it work, because the baristas did not buy into it, because it took an extra hour and a half to clean the machine, and even after getting it down to 45 minutes, it was still a killer. They realized this won't fit, at least not right now, and they scrapped it. Now, I'm gonna leave CEOs out of the equation for a minute. I'm going to look just at you leaders in the field. If you laid your plan out, if you looked at what you're doing today, what parts of your plan are left over from your heritage, from the tradition, and they may not be working right now? Maybe technology has changed the delivery method or something, and you need to change that. What is it that you need to do to get out of the plateau that you're in right now? Maybe what do you got to do to start growing again? We can't keep blaming the economy for things. We can't keep blaming other people for things. We need to look at what we have to do. Are you letting small things slip through the process, slip through the wayside? What is it in your business specifically do you need to do to fix it? So I believe this is a win-win for all of us if we analyze it. Let me take it a little bit closer to home, okay? What do you need to do in your personal relationships? Now, not necessarily am I talking about your intimate relationships with your spouse, with your kids, but I'm talking about all of it. All the personal relationships do you have? What should be changed? What is it maybe that you need to change? See, sometimes we always look at other people. I'm not saying that sometimes it's not the other people. But what is it that you can do? Have you gotten caught up in the myth of lifestyle instead of life? See, a lot of times people will get so excited with the hype and the excitement of let's make a lifestyle change, that they forget that lifestyles come and go. It's about life change. We look at quasi-presidential running opponent there, Donald Trump, is a prime example. We've seen his lifestyle change several times. But I haven't ever seen a life change in him. We've seen people like Robert Downey Jr., whose lifestyle has changed several times in and out of rehab. But the last time he was in rehab, close to, I think it was 10 years ago now, right at the turn of the century, he had a life change. And since that time, has stayed off of the drugs and the alcohol and has gone on to resurrect his career and create some of the greatest movies in modern time. Sherlock Holmes, Iron Man, great epic adventures that will last throughout generations. We see people like Martin Sheen, but Charlie Sheen, whose lifestyle seems to have just been great from day one. But yet his life is messed up. Now, I'm using names that are not directly affiliated with any company. But I'm using this as an example. How many people on your team have you seen them tout about the lifestyle change, but they never talked about the life change? See, if you don't make an internal change, you will not succeed in any type of entrepreneurialism. I'm going to tell you that right now. See, if you were lackadaisical at the job, you're probably going to be lackadaisical at running your own business. It's just one of those things that happens. If you come into your own business, you say, I'm going to launch myself a blog. I'm going to be the next million-dollar blogger. But yet, you haven't grown personally. You don't know what you're doing. You don't go out and all you think you got to do is put a URL on a blog. then it won't work. If you're trusting the brand like Starbucks did, saying, you know, it wasn't that we were too big to fail, it was just we're too good to fail. If that's your concept, you will fail. See, it's interesting, as I read through the chapter, how many different analogies just came to mind with me on this one. There's no silver bullet. Starbucks threw a lot of money at getting their sorbetto out, but that didn't make it successful. They wanted to enter into the health and nutrition and be seen as a brand leader in the health and nutrition world. Just because you want something doesn't mean it's going to happen, no matter what people tell you. The concept is, what are you going to change inside? What limiting beliefs, what tweaks do you need to take? What rituals are you doing that are screwing you up that you need to get rid of? Howard asked himself this. What had happened? Had my thirst for innovation blinded me? Starbucks had once been so good at creating products that right out of the gate, it transformed customers' behavior. Sabato's potential had played into that line of thinking. I had brashly embraced sorbetto as a silver bullet, but there's no such thing. See, even when we know better, dadgummit, sometimes we still look for that silver bullet. And especially when life sucks. You got to remember, in 2008, the stock was still crashing. The value of the company was still going into the tank. It was that way for everybody else too, but in this case specifically. Howard finished this chapter by saying this. Yes, opportunities to transform Starbucks for profitable, sustainable growth existed everywhere, but no single move, no product, no promotion, no individual would save the company. Our success would only be won by many. Transforming Starbucks was a complex puzzle. We were trying to piece it all together, where everything we did contributed to the whole. We just had to focus on the right, relevant things for our partners, for our customers, for our shareholders, and for our brand. Starbucks has done a phenomenal job at becoming an icon in our life. If Howard Schultz passes away, I can guarantee you, Starbucks will rise up, they will succeed, they will continue to grow, they will find new leaders. Howard understands it's not just one person, it's not just one individual. On the other hand, Apple computers might have a small issue. They seem to have their stock rise and fall on Steve Jobs. We know other companies are that way. What you want to do is make sure that your team is following your leadership, but not following you as the icon. They have to understand that you're not the silver bullet. You just provide the casing for the silver bullet. They have to understand that the company isn't the silver bullet. They're just the casing providing they're the gunpowder inside the casing. They're providing them with what they need. See, it's everybody working together. John Maxwell says there is no Lone Ranger. And I tend to agree with that. It's not a silver bullet. Although there can be a silver lining. See, we have to look inside of ourselves and say, how are we going to change in order to lead better, to rise up in our leadership levels, in order to attract a higher quality leader that's underneath us that's going to go on and do their own things? One of the things, and if you followed me, you know that I get frustrated with this, is how many companies have allowed leaders to go in and set up all these online systems. I'm not against online systems. But most of the online systems are personality driven. It's about the leader's ego. I think that's what causes people to fail. So I believe we need to train others. We need to coach others. We need to mentor others. My son Dalton will be leaving in a few months. He's married. His wife's in the Coast Guard. Don't know where they're going yet, but it's been interesting because I don't want him to leave. We do business together. But yet I've come to realize he's an adult. It's time that he spread his wings and get out there and do some things. You, as a leader, have to do that same thing. It's going to hurt when your leaders leave. But if you've created it right and you've explained to them there's no silver bullets, it's about you leading and you always taking it to the next level. If you've done that and you continue to do that, the sky will be the limit. I believe Starbucks is in its second wave. It's having its second breath. I believe your company, your family, your relationships can do the same thing. You may be marketing coffee. You may be marketing a health and nutrition product. You may be marketing energy. If you understand that the product is just the vehicle that you're using to create a brand new personal experience for somebody to help change their lives for the better, then I guarantee you the sky will be the limit on where you go. That's the key. Tomorrow, we will be in chapter 21. I know this to be true. I tell you what, this one here is going to be an eye-opener. It's a fun chapter. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow with me for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.